are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, January the 22nd, and second guessing Troy Weaver, everybody's favorite topic. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm Brother Brian, and I once took a limousine to a Limp Bizkit concert. Ugh.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Appreciate Brother Brian as always. It is Fridays with Brian. We go a little bit loose here as we always end the week. Everyone's looking forward to the weekend. Big weekend for the gamblers in the state of Michigan as well. Today we're going to preview the Pistons games this weekend. We're also going to revisit the status of some of the old friends, a little bit of lightning rods in Pistons land as we observe how their seasons are going from afar. Also going to go back to Troy Weaver's offseason, do a little quarter of the way grades and scenarios and all that great stuff that you guys love to hear me talk about, and also the college basketball game to watch that Brother Brian tells us about every weekend. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook, Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give Brother Brian a follow at bshook12 on Twitter, and also playmichigan.com. The Twitter account is play_Michigan. Big day, noon is when the online sports betting launch happens throughout the state of Michigan. So follow playmichigan.com throughout the day. I'll have updates all day long about how that's going. But more importantly, Brother Brian, how is it going for you?
Banging overs and laying points in Piston Land. That's what we're doing. Not bad. How's it going this week, Matt?
Oh, man, I am exhausted. It is a late Thursday night. Went to the gym. Got to give myself a little pat on the back for that. But just a lot going on in the work life and all that good stuff. So, but first, let's get to the action on the court this weekend. The Pistons, they are home, back home after four on the road. They got Houston tonight and Philly on Saturday. Brother Brian, here's the details from him.
This is your Pistons game preview.
The 3-11 Pistons are back in Detroit to start a three-game homestand, taking on Houston tonight and the Sixers tomorrow and Monday. The Pistons may be getting the 4-9 Rockets just in time, as they are on a three-game losing streak, transitioning to life without James Harden after the blockbuster deal that sent the Mercurial superstar to Brooklyn. Former Piston Christian Wood can't be blamed for the cold streak, although he is out in tonight's homecoming with an ankle injury he sustained against Phoenix, but he has put together a very impressive streak of games highlighted by a 27-point-15 board night, followed up by a 24-point-18 rebound night to complete an impressive pair of games. He is averaging over 23 points and almost 11 rebounds a night to lead the Rockets, and we wish him well and a speedy recovery. John Wall is also not going to play tonight against the Pistons, but some dangerous options for rookie coach Steven Silas are Victor Oladipo and Eric Gordon, who both average double digits. Offseason acquisition DeMarcus Cousins also provides productive minutes off the bench and may see more minutes tonight for Houston. Houston is 20th in the league in scoring and Detroit 21st, so we should be in for a close game. Probably because of all of the injuries, the game is off the betonline.ag board at the time of recording. The Pistons will then play their third back-to-back this year, having one wiped away because of the Washington game's postponement. What's different about this one is both games are home, and Detroit will get to play a team on the back end of its own back-to-back for the first time this year when they welcome the 10-5 Philadelphia 76ers downtown tomorrow. After playing at home against Boston tonight, Coach Doc Rivers will bring his very talented Sixers team to the Motor City. They are led by center Joel Embiid's 27 points and 11 rebounds tonight, and with Detroit's lack of rim protection, this could be fun. Tobias Harris, Shake Milton, Seth Curry, and rookie Tyrese Maxey are all averaging in double digits, while star point guard Ben Simmons is also doing that with 15 points tonight, but also adding 9 boards and a team-leading 8 assists. The betonline.ag info hasn't opened for that game yet, so follow Locked On Pistons on Twitter to stay up to date with the information on both of these games. Tonight's game tips at 7 o'clock, and tomorrow's is at 8 o'clock on Fox Sports Detroit and 97.1 The Ticket.
This has been your Pistons game preview.
Thanks to Brother Brian for that. Brian, what we're doing here today is we're just pulling off the Band-Aid. I don't want to talk about Christian Wood and Bruce Brown and Luke Kennard every day here on Locked On Pistons, and I know that fans don't want to talk about that every day, but that is a big storyline with the past, present, and future with this team. So here we are 14 games into the 72-game schedule. We don't know how many games are actually going to be played, so we're something near between the fourth and the fifth point of the season. And with Christian Wood's Houston Rockets coming to town tonight, I figured it'd be a good time to revisit how those three guys are going and how we might have conceived this offseason a little bit differently. So Christian Wood not in action tonight for the Houston Rockets because of the turned ankle that he suffered the other night against Phoenix, but good so far looking at this game log. Holy crap, that's some numbers he's putting up.
Yeah, man, and you look specifically at these last four games, you know, pretty much since they've made the transition from, you know, James Harden to Victor Oladipo, they're 27-15, 24-18, 30-9, and the last game where he got injured against Phoenix was 20 points and 11 rebounds, so he's as hot as they come right now. You know, he's been in probably the biggest storyline so far this year in the NBA. I don't think that's exactly what he was envisioning signing up for, but it has been ground zero for NBA reporting this year because of obviously the blockbuster trade that sent James Harden to Brooklyn, where he joined another former Piston we'll talk about here later in the show. But so far, Christian Wood's averaging 23 and a half points, 11 rebounds, two blocks. He's just doing it all and leading Houston as well as he can in a situation I'm sure he couldn't have envisioned signing up for.
Really one of the most improved player of the year candidates, along with Jeremy Grant, of course, of the Detroit Pistons. I'm leaning more towards Jeremy Grant in that, just because, first of all, he was doubted. We saw Christian Wood put up those numbers at the end of last season. And yes, Jeremy Grant did have a couple of games here and there, especially in the bubble for Denver, but just to take on that increased role that Jeremy Grant has had as like the fifth option, sixth option, fourth option, some nights on a very good team in Denver, to be the number one option on, so of course, a bad team here in Detroit. But man, to rise the level that he did and to be putting up the numbers that Jeremy Grant did. And that's really kind of what we're going to talk about today a little bit, is the decision to use the $28 million in cap space that the Pistons did to get Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee, as opposed to, and again, it's a little bit of a fantastical world because we don't know whether if the Pistons would have offered that same 3-year 14.1, I believe, per year that Christian Wood got, if he would have even accepted that same offer that Houston got. But maybe Houston wouldn't have been able to offer that if that wasn't the sign and trade. So there are a lot of machinations there, or another poison pill that we'll talk about a little bit later on as well. But Christian Wood is like last season's last 10 games post-trade deadline Christian Wood, just stepping up in a major way for the Houston Rockets this season. Looks like he's knocking down threes at a decent percentage right now. I'm pulling that 36. So he's at his career mark for threes. We know he's not going to be a shot eraser or anything like that in terms of defensive presence, but you know, in the modern game, offense takes a little bit more prevalence over defense, but we also know Detroit Pistons culture, and rightfully so, this is a team that kind of leans more towards the defense than maybe your regular team. So it's a confounding thing. Christian Wood was a confounding player for Dwayne Casey last year, but credit to the coach that he ended up getting the production that he did out of him. But Christian Wood showing that he was going to go somewhere, whether it was Detroit, whether it was greener pastures, and become the type of player that he was giving us glimpses of at the end of last season, when he looked like he could be one of these guys that could be one of the best two or three players on marginal to bad teams. And he's certainly doing that right now in Houston.
Yeah, and it's too bad. Whatever the situation was, I mean, my gut tells me that he didn't want to be here for whatever reason. He wanted to go off and win somewhere right away, or the relationship with Coach Casey was irrevocably harmed at that point. Who knows? But, you know, or Detroit just didn't want to match the 3-year, $41 million deal. But he's in a situation now where he's more of the focal point of the offense than he could have imagined even a month ago. And, you know, he's responding well. It's 7 double-doubles already this year. I hope, you know, he's able to come back from this injury all right and not miss a beat. But if he was looking to go win somewhere else, there's not a lot of that going on in Houston right now. They're only 4-9 so far this year.
Yeah, and this is a team that, by the way, right before we recorded, made a deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers that the Cavs were trying to either release Kevin Porter or just get something back for him and get rid of that salary. Turns out that Houston was the team that apparently gave him something, and it sounds like a conditional second round pick for a player that they were maybe going to release anyway. So Houston kind of doing what a lot of us pictured that Detroit would do and take a lot of chances on a lot of super young guys out there. And to their credit, Detroit did do some of that with the construction of their roster this past offseason. But let's dig deeper into that a little bit after the break. And first, we're going to talk about Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown, revisit how those guys are doing. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first,
it's Bang the Over Brother Brian, and I just wanted to make sure everyone was ready for some football. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. You want a little Super Bowl preview? Betonline.ag has all the opening lines and numbers for every possible Super Bowl matchup. The biggest favorite would be the Chiefs laying 3 against the Bucks, while the closest spread is a pick'em between those same Bucks taking on the Bills. Which game do they think will be the highest scoring? Well, that's tied at 55.5 with the Chiefs versus either the Pack or the Bucks, while the lowest scoring game would be the Pack and the Bills at 54.5. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts.
Brother Brian joining us as he always does for Fridays with Brian, and some Pistons action coming fast and furious for the rest of the month, and a West Coast trip coming up after that as well, some late nights ahead here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But we talked about Christian Wood, one of the lightning rods coming into the offseason for the Pistons, but a couple of the other guys that Troy Weaver basically discarded, although did get some value back for Luke Kennard, guys in winning situations right now. Let's start with Luke in LA. How's Brother Brian, how is Luke doing out West?
Well, he's getting paid for, you know, he had a 4-year, $64 million extension. And obviously, I think that was the biggest hurdle probably between the organization and Luke, was what the future looked like. And he was able to go out to LA and probably, you know, tick that first box that was probably on his list to get kind of secured up for the future. Little bit of a slow start for Luke when he was out there. But just lately, he's really been heating up. He is shooting 51% from three, but he's playing a much lesser role on a much more talented team. Obviously, he's coming off the bench. He's had a couple starts here and there, but he's only playing about 23 minutes a game, which is down 10 minutes from last year when he was playing 33 with Detroit. He's averaging only 9.3 points per game right now. But like I said, these last couple games have been pretty good for him. He's had 5 games in double digits. They're on a 5-game winning streak right now. And Luke's had back-to-back games with 14 points and 5 rebounds and 6 assists, and then followed that up with a 20-point 4-rebound night against Indiana on 5 of 8 shooting from deep. It was his best night shooting. And they're 11-4. So he's in the California sun. He's winning basketball games, and he's beginning to find his role on what could be a team setting up for a deep run in the Western Conference playoffs.
Yeah, it does not suck to be Luke Kennard right now these days. $64 million contract starting up next year. That's already guaranteed. 51, like you said, 51% from three, 65% effective field goal percentage with that 52% on 2-point field goals as well. That's really good. I mean, but obviously the ball is in his hands less. You mentioned the minutes down from 33 to 23. The assists are down from 4 to 2, basically, too. So, and as it stands to reason, Luke Kennard doesn't have the ball in his hands nearly as much as kind of the, with the Pistons running the second unit in a lot of ways alongside Derrick Rose when both were healthy. Of course, one of the problems that neither of them were healthy at the same time this past year. But Luke Kennard certainly, the fact that he signed that extension before the game started, I mean, must have shown that the offseason went well for his knee rehab, if there even was a big problem with that. A sticking point for Pistons fans. But what about Bruce? You mentioned Brooklyn and the circus that's going on there. He's been up and down in terms of in the lineup, out of the lineup, valuable role player at best. I mean, it's been kind of a mixed bag for Bruce.
And still probably the most confounding offseason move the Pistons made. There really doesn't seem to be a glaring reason that there was an impasse in the relationship. Everything about his DNA seems like it would fit and mesh with this Pistons team. And, you know, we shipped off the at least human piece so far that we got back for him. So still kind of a weird deal. But he has, you know, started 5 games for the Nets here in the last 2 weeks or so, with them coming through the soap opera that is Kyrie Irving, and then the bigger soap opera that was the James Harden blockbuster trade. So he helped bridge the gap as the organization was going through an early season metamorphosis. He's averaging 5 points and 4 boards on the year. He is providing that good perimeter defense, as that team is, it is needed on that team. That role he obviously will fill for them very well. Against Denver about 10 days ago, he went for 16 points and 6 rebounds, and then followed it up in a win against the Knicks with 15 points and 14 rebounds. Obviously a role player on a team that has 3 superstars, but he's been a valuable contributor. The Nets are 9-7 right now, going through, you know, a really stormy part of the season already for them.
I'm just looking forward to Luke Kennard versus Bruce Brown in the NBA Finals this year. What about you? That should be a good one. Looking forward to that. But no, I mean, my feelings about these moves are well documented. I'm not sitting here saying that there's no world where trading Bruce Brown or trading Luke Kennard is a good idea. I just have an issue with the value that they got back for him. So given that, and we're way too early to make proclamations about how Troy Weaver is doing, but we have a daily podcast here about the Pistons, so at some level, we kind of have to jump on a limb here. And by the way, John and Musa, like you said, cut by the Pistons before the season started. The Pistons do have the Toronto Raptors second round pick for next year, the only second round pick the Pistons have for the next several years, although they did get one back in the Rockets deal that turned into a huge deal. But Raptors are just 5-9 right now, so they are like the sixth or seventh worst team in the NBA. So that's a pretty good second round pick right now. However, 538.com has them finishing over 500 despite a tough spot. Are a tough start for them, so you would expect that to be like a mid-second round pick, and we'll see how that all kind of shakes out. But Brian, I wanted to throw a scenario at you. We kind of touched about it already here, but the $28 million of cap space, door number one, door number two, door number three, door number one, and we could make the off-season grades like even more complicated than this, but I kind of wanted to pose the question to you and to also myself, given what we know now, 20 something percent of the way into the first season of a long rebuild. So again, things can change and things will change, and maybe the right move worked out poorly, or maybe the wrong move ended up well. You know, these are all just variables that we don't know, and obviously we'll have the benefit of hindsight someday. But door number one, what Troy Weaver did with the cap space, signing Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee to 3-year deals, combining for what, $85 million. And then door number two, and again, this is a little bit of a hypothetical. We don't know if Christian Wood comes back for that same deal. $14 million plus $14 million of cap space X, whatever you want to do with that cap space. And there are some moves that could have been made, or you could hold on to it and see how the season kind of transpires. Or poison pill, door number three, which is something that I don't know. It's looking pretty good to me as a little bit of a contrarian as I am, but taking the Al Horford deal off of Philly's hands, which is what Oklahoma City actually ended up doing. He's got 3 years and an average of $28 million left on his deal. So it's one of the worst deals in the NBA. Philly unloaded it to Oklahoma City. They also gave up an unprotected 2025 first round pick in that deal. And there were some other parts of it that are really not all that important, but they did get back. They gave up Théo Maledon as well, but did get back Terrence Ferguson, so a useful young player, and Danny Green, a useful veteran player. So I don't think you could have gotten the same deal of Horford in the first. You would have probably had to juice it with something like Luke Kennard, so that maybe would have been what the deal is, because Luke Kennard helps Philly off the bench and helps their shooting. I think that would have been something that Philly would have been pretty excited about, actually. So door number one, door number two, door number three. What do you think, Brian?
Well, let's say this: before the season started, there was no way that door number one was the answer, but that one has probably moved the needle to the positive more Absolutely. Than the other three to me, just by the level, definitely the level of play that Jeremy Grant has been at for this entire season, for all intents and purposes. And the bit that Mason Plumlee's given you, he's been as good as you could have hoped for, I think, at this point for the Pistons, and doing some of the things I didn't expect to see, the ball handling and some of the distribution as well, has been top notch. Christian Wood's playing great. Like you said, this is a hypothetical because we're not sure exactly what it was that pushed Christian Wood to Houston, if it was exclusively the money or very primarily the money, at least. And, you know, the Al Horford move is a definite look towards the future, and probably down the road is the right move. I'm actually in the camp of moves they actually made with Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee. Jeremy Grant's shown me enough that I'm willing to roll the dice with him, as, again, I still think the best player on these next competitive Pistons teams isn't on the roster yet, whether that's a draft pick next year or somehow another acquisition here in the future. I think Jeremy Grant's your second fiddle in a perfect world. And I think what he's shown so far is that he could excel in that role. Or if it's somebody who's of comparable, you know, a 1A, 1B situation, wouldn't be the worst. So maybe it's the optimism in me that says, you know what, the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and Christian Wood's putting up numbers for a bad basketball team right now, something that we've seen before. I think with the position that Jeremy Grant plays, the type of player he is, and the way that the pieces have fit, and the amount of successes Troy Weaver's had. I mean, Jahlil Okafor, who's battled some injuries and hasn't really quite found his footing yet this year, I don't think, is probably the only glaring transaction that Troy Weaver's made that, you know, maybe hasn't worked out in its almost, you know, best incantation. And having the success he had, you know, pretty much across the board on the type of people he was bringing into the organization, I'm willing to, you know, grant him the benefit of the doubt and be optimistic and say what he did is proving to be the right road.
Yeah, I think all three of the doors, by the way, are reasonable answers to this hypothetical. I think you can make a really good case for all three of those doors. But, and I'll eat a little crow here too, as I was one of the ones that said that Jeremy Grant was a little bit overpaid at $20 million per year with that contract. Not only has his play so far shown that he is not overpaid, he's actually probably a little bit underpaid with the way he's playing in, you know, over 14 games in the season. So reserve the judgment to see how things kind of play out. But not only that, but he's made the analysis of the contract look wrong on my part and a lot of people's part. He's also made the analysis of the use of the salary cap. My larger complaint was that why are they using the salary cap to sign veteran players? And Jeremy Grant is 26 years old, but he's playing so well at a young age. And like you said, showing that he might be someone who could be the second, maybe the third, second 2.5 best player on a really, really good team down the road as a two-way player. And he's only going to be 29 at the end of the contract, or maybe going into his age 30 year. Someone that you hope can have a positive experience here in Detroit, someone that you hope can resign here down the road. Or if we're talking about a guy who's playing at a near all-star level in the age 29 at an expiring $20 million deal, you can get a lot of assets for him if you want to trade him in the third year of that deal. Or tomorrow you could trade him and get something for him in the second year deal. So not only am I wrong about the value of the contract being too high, he's playing so well that I might be wrong. And who knows? I'm not easily going to say that I'm wrong about things, but I might be wrong completely about that. The asset accumulation, because at the end of the day, Jeremy Grant on this contract, if he's playing this level, might be more valuable than that 2025 first round pick you get from Philly. Now that's a little bit of a roll of the dice. We don't know what Philly's going to look like in 5 years. So that's just kind of one of those lottery tickets that you're basically putting out there. But credit to Jeremy Grant for making myself look like an idiot and making the national folks look crazy so far. But Christian Wood, I mean, to me, if I had to pick one of those things right now, and I'm struggling with this. I'm kind of going on the fly. I really didn't make the decision. I thought I was going to say Horford coming in, but I might go Christian Wood. And that's because you still have that $14 million of money to do something with. We saw what Cleveland was able to do with the Jared Allen deal with a little bit of cap space left, a little bit of flexibility. I would have gone into the season with some of that flexibility. I also would have gone in with Bruce Brown and figured out ways to kind of get more value for some of those guys. But obviously we know that the team wanted to make a big culture shift. We've seen the fruits of that in terms of the fan base being a little bit more excited about a 3-11 team than you think they would be. So a lot of positives about Troy Weaver's offseason. Certainly the Jeremy Grant one is a one that he can put up a middle finger to a lot of people. And like you mentioned, Jahlil Okafor, it's a minimum deal. It's, even though he's not very good, it's not like something you're really kicking yourself too much about. Everything else, Josh Jackson looks like he might be a nice little find. Mason Plumlee, as much grief as I give the 3-year, $25 million deal, he is what he is, and he's consistent, and he's a professional, and that helps this team hopefully moving forward as well. So Troy Weaver, good on you. And what do you think we're going to be saying, you know, halfway through the season, Brian, as another 10-15 games roll by? Do you think, you have a prediction as to where this thing will look stock market wise in a few weeks from now?
Well, it's going to be tough because the losses are going to continue to pile up, the West Coast swing coming, the reveal of the rest of the schedule, which, you know, the NBA hasn't shown that they prefer to do any favors for the Pistons. So it is going to become somewhat of a grind at some point, I think, especially if you're going to have losses like this last one in Atlanta happen every once in a while that are just deflating. So it's going to test the mettle of the team and how their professionalism as they're going through the grind of what, by all quantifiable measures, is a lackluster season, and really not rub any of that negative mojo off on any of these young, really impressionable players. So I think, you know, just given the natural course of how this season looks like it's going to play out, I don't envision the stock getting much higher over the next half season. But I also don't think that the level of play we're seeing from Jeremy Grant's going to be an apparition in his career. I think that this very clearly is going to hopefully become the new normal in Jeremy's life.
Yeah, and I think the bigger question about where you fall on this answer is, was it really important for the Pistons this offseason to make those culture changes? Because Mason Plumlee brings some of that. Jeremy Grant certainly brings some of that in addition to his talent so far this season. So was it important to possibly make some sacrifices of things that might help you down the road to make those culture changes? And yes, it makes this podcast more interesting. It makes the team more enjoyable to watch here in the 2020-2021 season. But will that be something that's really significant when we look back to hopefully the successes that this Troy Weaver era has 4 or 5 years down the road? I think that's an open question that we don't know the answer to yet. And when there's some tools in the tool shed that maybe aren't there because of certain moves that were made or weren't made this offseason, I think we'll be able to look back on this and say, well, instead of having those tools left in the tool shed, whether they be second round picks or that future first that goes to Houston or the salary cap flexibility that might have been there otherwise if they made 1-year deals or whatever, that's going to kind of be the trade-off, and we'll kind of see if that pays off down the road or if that will be quantifiable. But we'll come up with an answer here on Locked On Pistons down the road. But up next, Brother Brian's going to tell us about the college basketball game to watch this weekend, a Big East showdown between a team from Omaha, Nebraska. Don't know why they're in the Big East, but that's how it goes. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Go behind the scenes of the game you love and get all sides of the story with the Rejecting the Screen podcast. Each week, Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko get personal while interviewing players, coaches, media members, all the people who make the NBA happen. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen wherever you get podcasts. This is your boy, Matt, joined by Brother Brian on Fridays with Brian, as we always do. We're actually brothers. We don't just call him Brother Brian for no reason. But Brian, as he does every Friday, and hopefully this one gets played, will tell us about the college basketball game to watch over the weekend with the NBA draft in mind. And it sounds like we're going to the Big East for this one.
Yeah, Big East matchup. Do you remember those? Those used to be a thing.
Those used to be fun. Yeah, Allen Iverson and Ray Allen. Those were fun.
Yeah. Well, the 23rd ranked UConn Huskies. They're 7-2. They're going on the road to take on the number 11 Creighton Blue Jays, who are 10-4. These two teams played an overtime game back on December 20th. Creighton ended up winning 76-74, but UConn has this player, James Bouknight. He's a 6'5" sophomore guard. He scored 40 of UConn's 74 points that night. He's bonkers sometimes. He gets hot as a pistol. He's averaging 20 points, 5 boards for Coach Dan Hurley. So definitely check out James Bouknight. Greg McDermott has a good Creighton team, a lot of good players. They're ranked, what was it, 11, number 11 right now. So it'll be a good game to see Bouknight go against them. I've seen him mocked in the mid to late lottery. And that UConn at Creighton game is on Saturday. It's at noon. It's on Fox.
James Bouknight at number 10 on Tankathon on their mock draft right now. I did talk to the Locked On Pistons insider for Creighton this week. If you listen to the show, you know Michael Stacey's been on a couple of times, my good buddy, who's a Blue Jay through and through super fan. And he tells me, and I didn't catch this yet, but apparently Justin Patton, who the Pistons picked up for a brief time this offseason, is kind of going at Greg McDermott, his former college coach, on Twitter. So check that out. And then you also have Khyree Thomas, the former Piston second-round draft pick who was traded to Atlanta and then subsequently released this past offseason. Another former Creighton Blue Jay who's just kind of bonkers on Twitter in general, kind of a Kyrie Irving Jr. in a lot of different ways. So check out those guys on Twitter. Pistons fans have a lot of history with the Creighton Blue Jays, and you could check out Craig McDermott, father of Dougie McDermott, who's still kicking in the NBA right now. So Creighton taking on UConn. Danny Hurley, not the Hurley that we hate here in Michigan, his brother, and taking on Greg McDermott in a classic traditional Big East showdown between Creighton and UConn, which is we all grew up watching the Creighton Blue Jays playing in that classic Jesuit conference in the Big East. So good times there. Looking forward to seeing Bouknight and some more NBA. And next, you already gave me the tease about next week's. I'm excited about next weekend's matchup between the presumed number one pick in the draft and another quality player that he'll be going up against in the Big 12. Spoiler alert there. But that'll do it for the Locked On Pistons podcast. I am your host, Matt Shook. He is Brother Brian. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy some Pistons basketball, some conference championship football games as well, some Big East basketball, and maybe some online gambling as well. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Spartans. Check out Will and Matt. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Khyree Thomas doesn't believe in dinosaurs.